I am honored to be up here today and to be here. When I was younger, you know, I had had the dream of working in on the radio and being a DJ, and that was one of the things I really wanted to do. And I actually got the experience of doing that, but that didn't fulfill me in my heart. Even though I enjoyed it, it didn't give me satisfaction. I sought something else in life. And through these scriptures, we can learn some of what that is, and then some of what we are all called to do, and some of what makes a difference in our lives, that we're not just here to make money, that we actually have jobs that God has put us on earth for, that he has created us for. Because it's the God of all creation who made us. He put us together in our mother's wombs for a purpose and a reason. It wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't just molecules coming together as, you know, an accident. Nobody in this room, nobody on Facebook tonight is an accident. God has made you for a purpose and for a reason. And he's called us to be in relationship with him. And he says he's called you by name. He wants you to be with him. He wants to be in relationship with you. Salvation comes to all who call on him. So Romans 10:13-17. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. For me, growing up in the church, I knew God was in heaven, and I knew I was here on earth. And that was basically what I knew. I needed somebody to tell me the difference between just knowing that there's a God in heaven and having a relationship with a loving God who cares for us every day. I needed a person to step in the gap to let me know what that was. Because as a child, I sought it out in many different ways. I was a little bit more of a wild child, if you want to believe it or not. But I was raised going to church, and I knew that there was a God. And I knew he was raised from the dead, but I didn't know how that relationship with him was going to work. Went to church on Sunday, thought, well, maybe that's going to get me to heaven. But what happens if while I'm sinning during the week, he comes? I had that thought. I go, what do I do? You know, what's going to happen to my soul and my salvation if I don't? You know, I had a lot of questions and a lot of different things going on in my life at that time. So, you know, I lived like the devil all week, and then I went to church on Sunday and said, okay, well, I hope God comes back on Sunday because then I'll be ready. But what I learned and what I was taught by some wonderful youth leaders at that church was that Jesus is alive and Jesus wants a relationship and Jesus wants us to be his disciples and Jesus wants to be with us every day and he wants to save us from our sins so that we don't have to live in those sins anymore because all they do is leave you dried up and lonely. But when you have a God in heaven who reaches down and wants to be with you every minute and every moment of every day and bring you out of the slime of this world and bring life and love, that is what is exciting. And that is what happened, you know, through these loving people in this youth group, in this church. And it wasn't just overnight for me. For me, it too was a process of learning that, once again, that God sent his son Jesus to this earth to be a man, and that Jesus was God, and that he died upon the cross for my sin, And when I started learning that, I learned that I was the cause for him to be on that cross. And I had real tears because I knew it was me that put him there. You know, and as a teenager, it was like, that was a lot of responsibility. I put Jesus upon that cross. You know, I went to some Bible studies through this youth group, and I learned some of these things. But to learn to give my life over to the Lord was something that took a little more time and took a few more preachers to do that with. And I'm thankful for them. And it's just how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And some of the things that helped lead me to that was music, because I loved music. Once again, because I said I liked being a DJ. Well, I was able to hear Chuck Gerrard. I was able to hear John Michael Talbot. You know, and they would share Jesus. And what they told me was, he wasn't just a God who wore a suit and tie on Sundays. That he's the one who died and bled upon the cross and who rose again, and who's knocking at the door. As we've been studying Revelations with Tony, he's knocking at the door saying, I'm here. I want to be a part of your life. Will you let me into your life? Because God has called us. We don't do anything for our salvation except let him in. He does the rest. It's grace that saves us from ourselves. And that's the one thing I was taught, you know, through these wonderful worship, these youth leaders that I had. And just by having these other people, like I said, like Love Song and Chuck Gerrard and these other concerts that I was able to go to. And it just brought me into a relationship with Jesus. And some of these other people that affected me, through that, I gave my life over to God. I let him come in and said, I don't have much to give you because my life is dirt. I know it is. I know I don't get straight A's. I know I do things wrong. I'm hanging out with the wrong people. And how did he change me? Little by little, day by day. He reminded me, that's a sin. I don't want you going into that place. What I want you to do is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit chases you down. And the Holy Spirit will let you know what's right and what is wrong. And I just loved those people that shared that with me. And you know what? The difference is between them and me, they took a step of faith and said, I'm going to share. I'm going to share at a youth group at a denominational church who does not teach, you know, this kind of salvation. And they said, we'll take the chance. We'll take the chance of being thrown out of church for ministering the proper truth and the word of God. And they did. And I thank God for them. And I can tell you that Bob and Sue are going to be in heaven rejoicing, you know, because they got to see me come into that relationship with the same Heavenly Father that they knew. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have that to share with those who are burdened, who have the troubles of this world that weigh on them so heavy. And if they don't know our Savior, how hard it is to get through this life and how hard it is to face these things. So how can they call on him who they've not believed? If they don't know the Jesus that's in our heart, how can they be saved? We have a message. I'm not the preacher. I'm the one standing up here today, and I'm the one that's going to encourage you. Because we are the church. We are the church. There's not one man. Tony can't save all of Monument. Tony can't save all of Calvary Fellowship. Jesus Christ can. And he is our Savior. And that's the mission that we have. Now, does that mean you all have to come up here and teach? No. Does that mean that you have to all be in youth ministry and help the youth? No. But does that mean you need to walk with Jesus wherever you go and make sure that you're open to be used by God? We are all called to be preachers. What does it say in in the end of Mark 16:50. It tells us to go into all the world and to preach. Did it say only the apostles need to go and do that? It's the rest of you don't need to do that. No, that is all of our call. Go out into all the world. And as we're going to get to in Revelation later on, what is our call and our purpose? It's to share him with the world to prepare for his coming back. Because he is going to come back. And we're going to be judged for what we do and what we don't do. And one of the other people that made a big difference in my life was, as I told you, I did get to be a DJ for a little while. And while I was in California in 1981, just before the death of Keith Green, he came to our radio station. He did an interview. And his interview was very strong and very powerful, and it hit me. And that's why these verses today hit me, because I was listening to some Keith Green music about 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's why this message came about. And then I went back and listened to the message that he gave on the radio that day. And he says, Jesus commands us to go, just like it says in Mark 16:50, go to the world. How can they hear without a preacher? We are all called. If you're called to stay, you're called to stay, because God gives us a purpose wherever we are. To reach their neighbor beside us that we're afraid to minister to because we're afraid that of whatever we are. You know, maybe they'll hate us. Maybe they won't talk to us anymore. We have those same fears with those that we work with. Well, maybe they won't like what I have to say. Maybe they'll report me to somebody. Maybe I will get in trouble. Jesus got in trouble. Jesus died on the cross. What is different? As Peter said, you know, just hang me upside down because I'm not worthy of being called the same, you know, as what the Lord was. But if he's going to be, you know, not accepted, maybe what we say won't be either. But we need not be afraid because we have the Holy Spirit. And we need not be afraid of, what if I lose my job? Well, you know what? The birds of the air don't have to worry about what they're going to eat or where they're going to live. Oh, wait a minute. That's in Scripture too, isn't it? That God takes care of them, takes care of his children. And he won't let them be forsaken because he is a God who cares and loves for us. But the message he gave that day was, Jesus commands us to go. And he commands us to go each day. So we need to be prepared each day. We need to read the Word of God. Because as we read at the end of the verse 17, so faith comes by hearing and hear by the Word of Christ. Where is the Word of Christ written down? In our Bible. So I guess we need to dust off that book that we have on our shelf that we, you know, like to say that we read that we don't that often. Maybe we need to get into that a little bit more. So if faith comes by hearing by the word of Christ, if you're saying, well, I don't know how to share, I don't know how to minister. Yes, you do. Because we tell stories to our friends all the time. Hey, guess what I did? I got to go out and go fishing last week. You can tell all kinds of stories. Why can't we still tell stories about Jesus, who's the most important part of our life? Why do we hide that? We need to share that. That is a good report. That can lead someone into salvation. That's the greatest day in the whole world. The angels rejoice when one is saved. When's the last time someone here led somebody to see who Jesus Christ really is? When's the last time I did that? We need to just keep that in mind. Because what is our job? Our job isn't just to make money. Our job is to share. Our job is to preach the word of God so that the world can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. There's not one who cannot be saved because whoever will call. I'm a whosoever from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever. I'm a whosoever. I am saved by the power of God. We have that message to share with others. But do we live it? Do we do it? Or do we leave it for somebody else to do? What's easier, to write a check, put it up back there, go back home and start living our lives and just doing what we want, turn on the TV, go cook a burger on the grill, turn on some music? You know, lots of things that can distract our minds. But what are the things that are needful in this world? What are the things that make a difference? That's what we're talking about. How can they believe in whom they have not heard? Well, we need to be into the Word of God. Because if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, how can they believe in whom they have not heard? That is our job, is to share that. It's not just Tony's job. It's just not my job when I'm standing up here. It's all of our jobs each and every day. And that's what that message from Keith Green really got to me was, Jesus commands us to go. He commands us to go to Mexico. He commands us to go to the Ukraine. He commands us to go and share the love of Jesus. He commands us to go and help our neighbor. He commands us to mow our neighbor's lawn in love, so that we can share, why did you do such a thing? Because I love Jesus and I'm just trying to share that love with somebody else. Because we are not altruistic people without God. Because we are selfish people without God. We just want to feed ourselves. And right? How can we have care and love for another person? On a wedding day, one of the most beautiful days in the whole world. Everybody's got their goo-goo eyes for each other, and you know, we're going to get married, and we're going to live in love forever, and it's going to be magnificent, right? That's how it is with Jesus every day. We can't let that feeling go away, because 25 years down the road, those goo-goo eyes are saying, you know what, I need you to go do the dishes. But how can you do that in love unless you are committed into a relationship to say, yes, I love the other person enough, they're not going to have to ask me next time. I'm just going to do it without having to be asked because I love that person so much. When we reach out and do those special things for each other. But this is a message that we have that's very hard to do, very nice to say, and very good to be able to say, I did it once. I tried it once and it was good. But this is something we need every day. When we wake up in the morning, we can say, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. Thank you, God, that we can share how much you love me. I can pray for the lady at the restaurant who brings me food tonight. You know, we're going to be praying for our food. Do you have any prayer requests that you would like for us this evening? Are you doing okay? Has anybody ever seen what a difference that can make? Because most of the time we don't care about a lot of the people that we see. You know, when you're at the line at Walmart or Walgreens or Shields, you know, talking to the person behind you, the person in front of you, or the cashier, they have things going on in their lives too. They need Jesus. How can they believe in whom they have not heard? There are more youth today who have not heard about who Jesus is because their parents didn't go to church, because they don't go to church. And all they know about Jesus is that he's a curse word. Or that he's just, oh, that's that religious thing. Jesus isn't a religious thing. He's the God who's loved us so much and cared for us so much. So how will they hear without a preacher? That's us. How will they preach unless they're sent? We are called and we are sent. God has put us in the places where we are. Where we are is not an accident. We're not here in this building tonight by accident. God has us here for a purpose and for a reason. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring that good news. So I thank God for the people in that youth group. I thank God for somebody like Chuck Gerard and John Michael Talbot who said, hey, guess what? We know that God is not just a God in heaven, that he's a God who came down. He changed my life, and he can change yours. And when I saw that joy on their in their life, I knew I didn't have to sit in my room all alone as a teenager and go, man, I am just so bored. I got to know that there was a God in heaven who cared for me and who sent his son. And we have that message to share. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's a great message that we have to share with those who don't know him. That God accepts us and that God will save us. So many people feel like, you know, I'm so in trouble. You know, trouble is all around me. My mother is in the hospital. My child is rebelling. We have Jesus. And we're going to have troubles in this life. What we don't have is we don't have the right to tell people everything will be perfect when you get saved. But what you have is a Savior who's going to walk with you through the things that we go through. Because there will be trials and troubles until Jesus returns. And he will return. And then we won't have to worry about the trials and troubles anymore. Then we get to be in heaven with him in that wonderful, wonderful place that knows no sin. You know, one of the best times I had, and one of the times I remember the most, is one of the scariest times I ever had in my life when I was in college after I was saved. I stepped out in my faith, out of my comfort zone for sure. I had some friends who worked at the Holy Ghost Repair Service in Hollywood, California. Guess what they did? They evangelized. They evangelized on the streets. We were standing out in front of the Troubadour. Motley Crue was playing, and there's at least 30 teenagers standing outside because they couldn't afford tickets, just waiting and listening and hanging out. We were able to pass out, you know, cards. You know, a lot of them were runaways. Hey, do you want us to call your parents? Can we help you get some dinner tonight? You know, can we share food and love and Jesus? That was our job for the evening, was to help them get dinner, help call their parents if they wanted to get reunited, and to let them know about Jesus. My roommate in college was with me, and we were doing that, and we were sharing, and one of the bands who played to open up the concert came out, and he was relaxing, and we got him some snacks, and his shirt had the word God on it with a no sign on it. It was very interesting, but he had a good long conversation with my roommate. He goes, yes, I'm from Europe. You know, and my roommate had gone to boarding school in Europe, so they had a lot of things to share. And they were talking about, well, why are you wearing a shirt that says no God? He goes, well, there can't be a God. There's just too many things going on in this world. I just can't believe that a loving God would do any of these things and that kind of stuff. But my roommate said, nobody has ever loved me the way Jesus loves me. Jesus saved me. And Jesus loves you the same. That night, that man bowed his knee in prayer with my roommate and said, I want to know this God of yours. Because the God I learned about at church wasn't that God. And he accepted Jesus that night. And what a joy that was to be just in that presence. You know, seeing somebody come to know the Lord that said, there is no God. I'm playing in a band that sings that I don't believe there's a God. And who's fallen down and received Jesus as his Savior. You know, and that couldn't have happened if we hadn't stepped out of our comfort zone and reached out, you know, with these people. Now, do I do that every day? No, I don't. And do every day do you get that opportunity? No. But do we have opportunities every day that we can share? Yes, we do. Because like I was saying before, the lady at Walmart, the lady at Walgreens, the man down at Shields, your neighbor, the person you work with, the person you talk to on the phone. You know, hey, I've got to order, 600 of whatever I need to order. They need to know Jesus. How can we share what's most important to us instead of hiding it? That's one thing that I've struggled with all my years is how can I stop hiding it and take that light out from under the bushel and let it shine. Let people know that I love Jesus. Well, God has given me that opportunity tonight to let you know I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus tonight? Do you love him? Is he in your heart? If he is, let's listen to his call. Because the passage we've read tonight says we need to share that. Time is short before he comes back. And what is he going to come back to do? He's going to save those who love him. And those who don't. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And there is a hell. And hell isn't where you get to go and party all night. Because there are a lot of people who think that's what's going to happen. We have a message to be able to tell them that is not what happens in hell. What happens is you're judged for your sins and you got to live with that forever. You got to live with the pain you've caused other people. You got to live with the pain that you've caused yourself. But there's a God in heaven who wants to save you from that. There's a God in heaven who cares about you. There's a God in heaven who wants to live in your heart and not just in heaven. That God wants to be here. He is here in our midst. As one of the old Christian songs goes, he is here. And yes, he is here in our midst. And he wants to make a difference in our life. And we can thank him for those things. But he wants us to do something more than just sit here and soak in what he's giving us. He wants to get us to give it out. He's given us a command. The command isn't just to sit in our house and eat our bonbons and our ice cream and our hamburgers and just enjoy that part of our life. He wants us to do what he's asked us to do. And that gets hard. Because what happens when you share that kind of word with a family member who does not love Jesus? They can say no. They can say, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. But you know the one thing they can't say? When judgment day comes, they can't say, I was never told. So we have a mission to at least tell them and put it into God's hands because he's the one who saves. It's not you or me. We need to do what he's asked us to do, and that's to share. He takes care of the rest. We don't save anyone. Because I didn't see that in any of the verses we read this evening that the preacher saves anybody. We're saved. How? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. What else did it say? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That has nothing to do with me. That has to do with them and Jesus. Does Jesus care? And does he love? And does he have a purpose and a reason for our life? He does. And if I have no other message to share from this pulpit ever again, this is the message I have to share, that we need to let people know that God is alive, that he cares, and that he wants to help you in your situation. He wants you to give your life to him. Whatever burdens, whatever sorrows, whatever troubles are in your life, he wants to be a part of you. He wants to forgive you for your sin. He wants to walk in your troubles with you. He wants to heal you from infirmities. He wants to be your God 24/7. He doesn't want to be turned off like the TV or the radio. And we need to know that he has a message for us to share. That is my encouragement for this evening. So if you want to know who Jesus is, give your life to Him today. And how do you do that? You call upon His name. It made it very, very simple in this passage. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, do I have to get my life straight? Do I have to stop doing drugs tonight? Do I have to stop, and pour all my alcohol down the drain? What do I have to do to know Jesus? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. It ends there with a period. It doesn't say but. It doesn't count in my case. There is no but after that. You are saved. And He'll help you through getting rid of the sin in your life. He doesn't say you have to be straight and cleaned up before you come to Him. Come to Him tonight and know Him. If you don't know Him, come and talk to me after service. I'll be glad to introduce you to Him. If you do know Him, I hope you're encouraged to share that news with somebody else this week. And I would love to hear reports next week when you come back to service of, hey, I was able to share. And I'll encourage you if you were turned away, and I'll rejoice with you if something very cool happens. But I know that if you speak the word of God, something will happen. I can guarantee it. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the good news that was shared with me. And I thank You for the good news that was shared with my brothers and sisters who are with us this evening. Let us thank You for sharing them with us. Lord, You're a holy God. But You're also a God who seeks us right where we are, who will forgive us if we just but ask. And all we need to do is call upon Your name, Lord, and we can be saved. Help us to be encouraged to share what You have taught us. That for God so loved the world that You, my Heavenly Father, my Savior Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in Him will be saved. Help us to walk in that. And if there is anyone who does not know Him, I pray that You would open up your heart to him today and receive him so that he can change you from the inside out. He can make you into his child because you've been created for a purpose and for a reason. Help us to live with that purpose and a reason the rest of the days of our lives until the coming back of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day, and we pray that it comes soon. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.